Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
How are you?
Pretty good.
I'd like to start this episode off, like all the others, thanking our sponsors. I'd like to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can save 10% by using code WH on all your power carving discs and burrs. I use them. You should, too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You can find them at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
And I'd also like to thank Chapman Manufacturing. If you go to Chapman Manufacturing, you can order one of the coolest screwdriver sets out there. Proudly made right here in the USA. If you use code WORKINGHANDS, you save 15% on your order. They're at ChapmanMFG on Instagram. Check them out.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I use mine. I like it. It's becoming my go-to screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has become mine.
Yeah, it's weird. I didn't think I needed a new screwdriver, but I went for it. So what is going on?
Well, I'm starting to get some projects pushed ahead here. Started with that diesel heater I've been talking about for like 6 weeks.
Good.
Weather's warmed up nicely up here. So Friday I spent a couple hours putting it in. Had a few issues to work through, like where to mount it, that kind of stuff. But that wasn't too bad. But ended up, so I've got it all together. I got diesel in it. It's ready to go.
It's not running yet?
Here's the story. I went to fire it up, and I'm like, they keep talking about the little pump on it is quite noisy. And I go to fire it up, and I get all the lights. Everything's lighting up the way it should, and I don't hear the pump going. I'm like, what is going on here? And then it throws this error code, and it's a low, it's called a high voltage error code. But from what I'm reading and from YouTube University that I went to afterwards, it's a voltage fault of any sort is what it seems to be. It can be a high and a low voltage or a current issue. And I think that's what I'm having is I don't have enough oomph in the power supply that I purchased. So I have a...
Oh, you were worried about that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. And it was a $15 purchase. So it wasn't a big... I'm not out anything really.
Yeah.
If I can find the box, I can return it because it's eligible for return up until I think the 14th or the 15th of this month. So I could technically return it. But I don't think I will. I think I could probably find another use for it.
Good.
But yeah, so the more I looked into it, the more I found other videos and better videos and it was showing that you need the 12 volt, 10 amp, and 120 watts worth of power. Mm. So I'm about half on everything but the voltage. So that's why So what it's doing is, and it's only for startup when it's running. Like there's a few people that put like load cells in line that'll show you how much power the thing's using. Like people have gone pretty serious for a little, you know, $100 heater kind of thing. They've really
People like to geek out on everything.
They're definitely geeking out on it. So one guy found and they're meant to be in like RVs. So this guy was in an RV and he showed the wattage, like it shows the voltage, amperage and the wattage. And what it is the startup of it is the problem because when it's running and it's hot, it takes very, very little power. Like 12 volts, less than an amp, wattage of like maybe 10 or 20 watts, like a light bulb, less than some light bulbs anyways. But the startup, because there's a glow plug in there and it has to get the chamber hot for the diesel to start burning. So if it doesn't have that heat, then it won't start. And if it doesn't get the heat in the right amount of time, it'll shut itself down. So for a little, you know, everybody's, oh, it's just a cheap Chinese heater, but it's actually got a lot of tech in it that it has a lot of safeties to it. and I didn't realize it either, was that it has to have a certain cool down period too, because of if you just shut it down and don't leave the fans going, you can actually melt your element from the amount of heat that you have from the diesel burner. You can melt the aluminum. That's how hot that thing gets.
Like, maybe they should have designed it a little better.
Yeah, maybe a little hardier. But yeah, there's a lot to it. But yeah, I'm happy with it so far. I understood I was going to have some growing pains, but if I were to do it again, I'd have no problem doing it again. Like if it becomes an option in another space, I'll use it. As long as once this power supply shows up, I'm everything's good. I'll do it again. But I've seen a lot of other people. Like one guy used an Xbox power supply. So I assume he cannibalized an Xbox at some point. And I'm sure that's probably a higher wattage than I'm dealing with. But there's a couple others that showed like 120 watts would be enough for your startup. And then after that, it doesn't use that much. So it's, but then cool. I guess the other thing was when I was going to start it up, the fuel pump needs to be primed, and I thought it would do it on its own. And this is the one thing where, for me anyways, I had a really hard time with the instructions. Like they are directly translated from another language. There's no English speaking
in between.
Yeah, the grammar to it is completely off. The front page says something about checking the phone, and that's all it says. Like it's really bad.
I check my phone all the time. It's a problem.
Yeah, I do too. But I will say with this item, I think the quality of the product is there. But just this, the manual isn't backing it up. It's terrible.
Right. Yeah.
But then the only thing I've changed out of all the parts, it kind of didn't work for me, I started like tweaking things that I was kind of in a rush to get it put together because I just wanted to get it up and running and see. And anyways, I ended up putting a different fuel line on it because the one that comes with it, it's a little undersized and it's really thin walled. And I don't really think I put the wrong fuel line on it, but I put another vinyl style fuel line on it. And I went from 1/8 inch to 3/16, I believe, the next 16th up anyways. And it fit. So the problem was the 1/8 inch would barely fit over the barbs. So it was a pain. Like my thumbs hurt from trying to squeeze that and push it down.
You almost have to heat it up to get it to expand a little bit to get it over.
Yeah, and maybe that would work, but I didn't have a lighter or anything on me, so I just ended up I went and spent the $5 for 10 feet of this vinyl stuff. So but then it went on nice, and then I just took I've got a bunch of pictures and stuff, and I'll post about it here probably next week. But I went and zip tied all the connection points because there's a connection point for the tank. There's a fuel filter in line on the suction side. There's connection at the pump, inlet, outlet, and then there's a connection up at the heater itself. So all those now have, it's much easier to work with too, because when I got them over the barb, and then when I went to pull the old hose off, it basically had to be cut off. Like it's on there nice and solid, which is great, but it just didn't, I wasn't able to really get enough on it to, or push enough down onto it to get anything to have a secondary tightening. Like I couldn't tighten it in any way, or I couldn't cinch it down with like a tie wrap or like they had those little squeeze clamps to, you know what I mean? Those circular things, they work great if they fit. And these ones didn't fit the bigger hose either. So, but yeah, it was kind of, it's interesting. I'm seeing that the ductwork I talked about last week will probably be the way to go. It's gonna, from all the other videos I've watched too, there's a lot of people that use them in RVs and put them into ductwork and then pipe it throughout the through the RVs. So it's definitely more of a heater than I thought it would be, because they're showing on the like thermal, like they're doing the little laser gun, little thermography gun. I think it was like 116 degrees was the temperature. This is Celsius, so it's over 200 degrees Fahrenheit. That's like how hot the air was coming off the thing.
That's pretty hot.
So it's throwing some heat.
Have you thought about closing up the eaves in your shop?
I'm thinking about it, but I was thinking about it more on the side of like rodent control and not so much actually
keeping the heat in.
Yeah, not so much insulation. So I think if I do the ductwork the right way, I can throw enough heat around to just give me enough working space that'll be nice and warm. And I'm just looking to get the shop up 5 or 10 degrees so that it's like, you know, above zero when I go out there.
Yeah.
'Cause when it's the winter time, I can work out there near zero or near freezing. As long
as I have 50, it'd be nicer.
Yeah, if it had a little bit of heat, and that's where I'm at. Like, if it's, I think from everything that I see, I think it's probably going to do what I need it to do, because there's people putting them in much larger spaces that are getting, but it's hard to say. I'm a completely open space, so I could be barking up the wrong tree. But so far, even though it's not running, my power supply should be here tomorrow, and it should be hopefully a 10-minute install, and then I should be up and running.
Good.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. It's actually was a lot of fun. Made me realize how much the little wood shop project I've been working on in the basement has made doing projects around the house that much easier, because I didn't have to. I put a shelf in that I made just out of scrap plywood, and I didn't have to stop and set up a saw and, you know, set up a whole bunch of crap. I just was like, hey, I need a shelf. I need to go from here to here, measured it, and then walked into my basement, grabbed a scrap piece of ply that I have, put it on the miter saw, cut it, and walked out and screwed it in the ceiling. Like, it was... Makes life so much easier.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
I need to clean my shop so I can just go out there and do something when I need to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still a mess. I think tomorrow is going to be wood shop day until that power supply shows up. So I'm going to be, I got my hands on my first saber-tooth burrs. So I'm going to try those out for removing a bit more bark off that birch. So I got some information on the birch tree that this piece came out of, the cookie that I have for my Make What You Fear project. So I was over at Nick's place, Nick of NB Wood Finery, our good friend. He's the guy who got I got the burl from, and that's what, I guess this is the story I'm getting at, is it's a piece of birch burl. So he said the tree was a single tree that then had the burl mass was like 15 feet off the ground. And he said there was 15 feet more tree above it. It was just, oh, wow. It had this growth, that burl growth in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he said, and he told me where it came from, close to here. And anyways, we just went through it. He gave me I needed a flattening bit. He graciously gave that to me, and then we got talking, and then he then handed me some Rubio to finish it with.
Oh, nice.
A Merca sander.
Oh, wow.
And vacuum. So I'm much appreciative. I do not deserve, and I'm very worried to break his very expensive tools, so I'm going to take my time and make sure that I don't.
So the bit you won't break. You're only taking a little bit off each time. The Merca's a pro tool. You're not going to break that. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So just don't drop it. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the problem. I drop a lot of shit. I was floored when he gave me that stuff. So I'm very appreciative. It's going to make my life that much easier. I should probably be, it'll make just finishing up that much quicker, which will be good.
Sharing tools for Make What You Fear is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's definitely appreciated.
Yeah. I've heard some other people borrowing tools to get theirs done. So that's good.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
So that's my week in a nutshell in 10 minutes or less.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to pull the Austin phrase this week. I just got too much going on, man. I just got too much going on.
Oh, man.
I didn't get in my own shop this week. I got zero progress on practicing my Make What You Fear pinstriping project. But I did do some cool things. I just got back today. I was up at the, I did not take the class. So, but I went to the Blackthorn to do some stuff up there, and Dre was teaching her epoxy class, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been following along. Looks like they're having a good time.
It's always a good time at the Blackthorn.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was closer. It was kind of cool to watch her in her element teaching. Like she's like you could tell that she loves teaching it. So
yeah, that's cool.
I was only there for part of the first day. So, but as I was there, it looked like everyone was having fun. Everyone was all smiles. I met some new people. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah.
Seeing they're having some fun doing the dips with Dre.
Yeah, I missed that. I wasn't there for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I left to go get lunch. But I went up there. I was helping Austin get that Onefinity up and running so we could cut out files for them to do epoxy pours on.
So that I assume that's new to there, isn't it? I don't think I've seen that there before, that Onefinity.
Yeah, it showed up at camp last year.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But we were up there messing with that. And then, that was pretty much it for me up there. But it was fun. Then I got home today, which is, what day is it today? Saturday?
Yep.
I got home today and I was sitting on the couch. I'm like, I'm just going to close my eyes for like 20 minutes. 3 hours later, I wake up. I was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter's doing that reach for the top. Remember the pencil sharpening story?
Oh yeah.
So she's doing that. She's continued to do it since the end of like from last year. So it's the high school trivia stuff. Anyways, she's doing quite well. She's actually won a few competitions here in the last bit. The teams of four, but she's. I think she's pretty well captain every team she's on now. So, but yeah, they had that today. It was kind of fun. I've had a house full of people last night and tonight. So it's kind of interesting, kind of fun because my parents don't come down all the time. So they've been down 2 weekends in a row. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that is good. I saw my parents last weekend. But the other thing that happened with me was I got that tattoo gun in since we last recorded.
For
the leather machine. I've only been able to try one thing. I posted about it, I think, on Wednesday.
Was that the fly?
Yeah, that was the fly.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't think of that as like the, like more or less a transfer. Because you're tracing as you're...
I trace it, and then I go in and add the detail later. When I trace it, I go like kind of light in case I don't like what I'm tracing.
Yeah, I guess.
And you can kind of massage it from there. But... Yeah, I'm not an artist, you know? It's just coloring the lines for me. Come on now.
Yeah, but you can add your own flair to it after. Sometimes you just need the base
to build off of it. If you look at the image I used versus the piece of leather that I have, nothing lines up. Like, not even, like nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the outline's there, but, like, the coloration and, well, I guess it's not the shading. I don't know what you'd call it, but... Yeah, nothing matches, lines up. I didn't even look at the piece of paper once I ripped it off the thing. I just kind of went with it, doing it my own way.
Yeah, I gotcha. Go by feel at that point.
Yeah, it was fun. I planned on doing more of that today, but I didn't. And then Tuesday, I went with our buddy Ed Johns. He's a scout leader. I guess that's what you call a scout leader.
Yep, I believe so.
And Tuesday they were doing their Pinewood Derby prep. So I went up to help him run the bandsaw up there. So that was fun.
Yeah, it looked like fun. Looks like he's having some fun right now with he's making trophies, I think.
Yeah, he's making trophies, yeah. He's 3D printing these trophies. And they'll have like a top on it to actually display the car, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Because he had talked about like the cost associated with the with his ordering medallions or medals of some kind. He said it was quite expensive, so it's kind of a nice thing that he can do with that 3D printer.
People always like to hit up the nonprofits and take all their money. So, you know, on the medallions.
Yeah. Well, that was, what was it? The shipping cost was the issue.
Yeah. They advertise it cheap and then they
smack
beat
you up
later. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was fun. It was interesting. I was never in scouts or anything, so I had no idea what any of it was like, you know, it's like a whole scout meeting. So they started off like the scouts and stuff. Seeing Ed in his element was pretty cool.
Was it? It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Ed, as they call him.
The famous Mr. Ed.
Yeah. The famous Mr. Ed. But no, it was really cool. He's like, it'll be easy. It'll be easy. And it was. It was very easy. A couple kids had some challenging cuts for me, but, for the most part, it was like I just stood there, grabbed the next piece, cut it, moved down. It was cool. I guess they're racing in a couple of weeks. I'm interested to see if any of the ones I cut win.
Yeah, that's the one where I don't think I ever did the only racing ones I ever did were the CO2 ones.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did that in like summer camp or something.
We did that. We did that in our shop class because I remember that one was a few people like made them like the size of a pencil. Like the body of it, they shaved it right down.
And it was like balsa wood or something, right?
Yeah, I forget what we used. It might have been like cedar or something. Something that's easy to get
easy
here.
Easy to carve, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was something soft. So a few of them got absolutely disintegrated by the time they hit the foam piece at the other end.
I bet.
Yeah, mine, I think I still had mine up until a while ago. At least at my parents' place.
I don't know when I did it, but we did it in our elementary school. That much I remember. But I don't know if it was like a day camp in the summer or if it was an elementary school thing. But I feel like it happened during the summer.
Yeah, ours was at like our, it would have been middle school, like, well, junior high for when I was in school. We went in our shop class. I did all right with mine, but I didn't shave mine down that thin. I wanted it to, because I knew what it was going to get exposed to, so I was like, I want it to be fairly strong, but I did fairly well because the aerodynamics of it were pretty streamlined, but it was heavier than everybody else's, so
yeah,
so that kind of sucked, but it was durable, it lasted, it didn't break after that. So
I'd like to do that again. We should have a competition with those.
Yeah that'd be fun.
I wonder how much the setup for that cost. Like to puncture the CO2s and stuff?
I don't know. I mean, the track is pretty simple because you just set up
string, right?
It was fishing line is all we used. And then we set up a, I forget what it was, but it was something spring loaded. You just pulled back and let go and it punctured the CO2 and then it just rocketed off. Because I think that happened with a few cars too, where the aerodynamics of it weren't right, or the weight wasn't right, and they would lift, and then even on the string they wouldn't make it all the way to the end of the track. But we did it in a hallway of a school, so even if they were on their tops they would still probably make it to the end.
Oh man, people are building these now at a laser cutout.
What, those CO2 ones?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we spawned in.
Oh, The Easy Start Dragsters package is cheap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's $1,300.
What?
Yeah, what I'm not joking.
What does that come with?
Oh. Let's find out. That seems like a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, no. Okay. So this, Easy Start, Getting Started package. It's I'm going to read you the description. An inexpensive way to introduce dragsters into your curriculum. This package offers enough materials to build 50 dragsters and the equipment to race them. Requires a drill, coping saw, wood rasper, file, ruler, scissors, and finish sold separately. So it comes with enough for 50 dragsters. So it's not just the...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. I think I'm looking at the same thing right now.
On Pitsco?
Yeah.
So well, easy build dragsters getting
yeah,
started.
Yeah, I'm on the Canadian site now. It's showing like $1,100.
Here's one with the cutouts, not the ones we did. The most affordable package we offer for starting a CO2 dragster activity. Ideal for schools that don't have standard power or hand tools. So this one is those like laser cutout ones. That's nah. Only requires a screwdriver and white glue, sold separately.
Wow.
Yeah. Those laser cutout ones are not as cool. And they're pre-cut. Like, all you do is assemble it? Come on.
Yeah, well, kids these days.
That's true.
Yeah, no, because we would have, ours were, the CO2 ones were, they drilled.
In the back, yeah.
They drilled the hole for the CO2, and then they drilled the holes for the axles. So that the teacher could say, you know, everybody's just going to be the same size. Right. So everything was measured out. He did that end of it, and then it was on us to cut it down. And I think I didn't have access to like Dad didn't have a bandsaw or anything, and I wasn't about to try and do anything like that with a like a table saw or anything. Cause I think Dad had one of those, but yeah, I ended up like taking a knife and whittling the thing down. That's how I cut it down to the. But I'm pretty sure it was like pine or cedar. It was something that was relatively soft.
Yeah, I remember using a coping saw on it.
Okay. Yeah, if I had something like that, I probably would have used that. I don't think I understood or knew what a coping saw was at that point. Maybe I don't now. I'm not sure. Yeah, I remember that being a lot of fun, but then just being over way too fast. It's like everybody gets to run theirs once. Oh, cool. And then we timed them. I think that's what we did.
No, I think we had bracket racing.
Yeah, I think we timed ours because they didn't want to. I think it was a time thing. That we just didn't have enough time to go through like the full bracket, or we didn't have enough CO2 to run through like a full bracket race, which would have been the cool thing to do. But that's been, goddamn, that's been 30 years. How to make yourself feel old right there.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but it was fun. I would do it again.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing.
Yeah, that was my week in a nutshell. Not too much going on. Oh, and one other thing I did this week is I went on the Creative Makers podcast.
Oh, yes. I was on there with you. Not really, but I was listening along.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun with Wacky Works, Joey Steelblade, Jake, Jen's Turn. It was pretty cool. We talked a lot about Make What You Fear, and then a lot about Maker Camp, actually. Had a lot of questions about Maker Camp.
There was a lot of questions about Maker Camp. That was
I felt like going, you know, on Blackthorn Concepts, I'm not the Blackthorn Resort. I don't have an E at the end of mine.
Yeah.
I spell mine correctly.
Yeah. Well, we do have a tendency to be the
unofficial podcast of the Maker Camp.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was happy to answer all those questions. It's fine. It was a good podcast. Go check those guys out. They do a nice job over there.
Yeah, look like you guys had fun. I'm intrigued by like them doing a live show. Like that's ballsy. I mean,
well,
we don't do a lot of editing, but I mean, if we didn't have some silences cut out and stuff like that, I think it'd be very different.
Yeah, but I think it works doing a live show with them because they're a guest show. So people are in there in the comments also asking questions. Like we had some questions about Maker Camp come in through the comments, which was cool. So if you have guests, I mean, obviously I'm not a big guest or anything, but if you have guests on there that people want to ask a question to. It's a cool way of doing it. It's like lifetime spectator questions, and then it's put out as a podcast later.
Yeah, and I mean they seem to get a lot of quite a few interactions that way, so it does help.
Yeah, I mean I have been on I've gone in to watch a couple, and there was a couple questions, like a couple people got a lot of questions from the comment section, but you can go check it out on YouTube on the Creative Makers podcast page, but then in like 5 weeks it'll be out on the podcatcher of your choice. That they have a backlog between YouTube and the podcast realm. But yeah, that was my week. But I will say, Jake over there from that, he runs a thing on Saturdays. It's a YouTube live show, and it is called Saturday Morning Cartoons. And in that, for the first, I think, 8 weeks of the year, he's running a fundraiser. So he is, I'll call him an epoxy artist, where he makes things every show and every Saturday morning, and he lets the commenters pick the colors he puts in, and he makes these molds, right, for people, like for turners who want to turn bowls or pens or whatever. Every day he's making different molds. The next week he auctions those off for a charity for the first 8 weeks a year. Last year they were able to raise quite a bit of money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation is who they use for the charity over there. They're doing that again this year. He's got, what, 3 weeks left? 2 weeks left? I think 2 weekends left. I think the auctions end next weekend, where he's going to be auctioning things off, but they're still taking donations. So if you go over there, find Jake's page, which I'll tell you in a second, you can donate to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Currently they're at 9,000, and they want to get up to 10,000 for the year, but maybe we can push them over that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think... So the gym I go to does a Make-A-Wish or some variation of that. Within our gym, we do a day where we do this workout competition. Everybody signs up. You pay your entry fee. Your entry fee goes towards that. They have raffles and things of that nature while we're throughout the day, silent auctions, that kind of stuff. And I think they had said 10 grand is the threshold for a wish.
Yeah, for here it's 8 grand, and they just hit that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Because that was
they hit that on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
When I was on,
that was like the threshold that our gym was trying to hit, and it took a couple of years to get there. But now they're at that point where every year they're granting a wish, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I told them he should go for two wishes this year.
Yeah, no reason not to. It's a good cause.
It's northsidecustomcrafts.com. You can go on there, right on that main page. If you scroll down, there's a donate to Saturday Morning Cartoons. You go in there, give a little bit of money, and help somebody else out. Obviously, times are tough for all of us, but imagine if you needed to make a wish. So check it out. The he does say just donate more than a dollar, because he eats all the fees on the donation page. So if you donate, you know, $100 and it costs him $10 to get that $100 processed, he eats that $10. So don't give $1, because it winds up being null and void then.
Gotcha.
So, you know, what's $10, right? So if you're going to do it, go for 10 or not, whatever. It's up to you. But yeah, I thought it was crazy. Like, we were on there, they mentioned what they had already, and it was like 8,000 or 7,000 something, or it was real close to the, like one wish. Like, that was their goal this year, to get at least one wish in.
That's cool.
So, but they're not stopping there, so which is also good. And then, don't quote me on any of this, because there's a lot going on when you watch that show, and unless you're watching it, it's hard to understand, and I'm not watching it right now. But when you do donate, you do get put into a raffle of some of the items that are donated from different companies, and it's a pretty big deal. There's a lot getting raffled off, so. You know, if you're one of those people that only donates when you can get something back, you can get a lot back on this one. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
So yeah, but I want to thank those guys for having me on their podcast. It was fun. Check them out. Go listen to them. They have, I think they're up to, I think they're in the 40s now. Episode 42, I think I was.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're all good people. So give them a follow on the podcatcher that you use.
Yeah, I'm following them on YouTube, but for some reason YouTube was being its usual self and not alerting me when there was ones on. So when you were on, I was like, well, I better go tell it to me, make sure it's going to let me know.
Yeah, I always go, like Joey, like I set the notification if I know I'm going to be around on a Wednesday when it's on, which is typically when I'm down here anyway at the laser, so I'll watch it then. So
yeah. No, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, do they try and stay to an hour? Is it what they do?
1 hour, yeah.
Okay. Because it felt like you guys could have gone longer for sure.
And I would have, yeah. I would have gladly gone longer, but they're like, oh, it's an hour, we're done. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, give them a follow on Instagram, give them a follow on YouTube, all that stuff. In the meantime, we have a list of people you should also be following if you're not already. How about we thank our patrons, Tony?
Yes, let's do that. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Wood Finery. In our top tier, we have Eastpoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housewort of Housemade.us, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Domehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Due Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, and Andrew of Hatch Mated. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. You guys are phenomenal. All yeah. Those names you just heard, the rest of our patrons, and you, if you haven't already joined, can get in on this month's giveaway from Gnomehammer. He gives away tickets into his raffle from our patron group for a custom hammer that he makes every month and gives away. So if you don't already like the benefit of our after show and want a chance to win a hammer, join up, and you could win this month.
Yeah, he's killing it lately. It's nice to see that that 60 tons really changed the game for him.
Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the combination of the 60 ton and the why can't I think of the type of forge it is? Induction forge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really helped his work.
You know how I know things are going real well for him? I hardly talk to him anymore.
He's busy. Yeah, he's busy.
He's busy.
Yeah. I think the only time I talk to him in quotes is when he's on it, when he does a live, I'll stop in.
I think the last time I talked to him, I congratulated him on the Hunter Hammers of 52 hours with.
Yeah.
I wonder how he's doing on the maritime sales though. That's kind of quiet, at least on my side of things. Cause he sells hammers at Maritime Knife Supply too.
Yes, he does. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Lawrence, so I'm not sure how they're doing there, but I'm sure he's doing just fine. I hope.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
No, man. I summed it all up earlier on, I guess.
Well, as you guys know, we are still ongoing on the Make What You Fear competition. Challenge. I should call it a challenge, not a competition.
Yes.
If you are starting a project or in the midst of a project that you started after January 3rd, you can join the Make What You Fear challenge. And the requirements are that it has to be a new medium for you. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony. New medium for you, a new process for you, or a project that you have previously failed at. We want to see 5 posts where you tag Working Hands Podcast. And the reason why I'm bringing it up again, even though we do it every week, is that you have to tag Working Hands Podcast, not just put us in the caption. In the comments, tag us. Those are the rules we set forth at the beginning. So anyone who doesn't tag us, it's not going to count towards your 5 reels. It's just an easy way for us to weed out. I do see some people posting. You can go and back tag, right?
Yeah.
So if you posted last week or today as you listen and you go back to your post and you're like, I thought I tagged them, but I only put it in the comments, you can edit that post and add Working Hands Podcast.
Yeah, makes life for us a lot easier. We've all
over
been
the
through
span of 3 months. There's no way we can keep track unless it's tagged.
And how unreliable the hashtags can be. It's much easier with the tag because that's actually going to push through to us.
Yeah, we are using a hashtag. It's MWYF2024. So make what you fear 2024 abbreviated to the first letter of every word.
Yeah.
But we want to see five posts. We want to hear the story of why it was challenging to you, whether it be a new medium, a new process, or something you have previously failed at. We have some amazing prizes for it. Right, Tony? We have, you want me to go through them?
Yep. I forgot I have the list here as well.
So, I didn't have it pulled up. I was hoping you were going to pull it.
No, I have this like mad scientist here. I've got sheets of paper with all kinds of stuff on it here.
We have a prize pack from Sabretooth. We have a prize pack from Maritime Knife Supply, a prize pack from Bowshield T9, a prize pack from Total Boat, a prize pack from Rob DeMarco.
Yes, sir.
And the Maker Camp is the last one?
Missing one? So, Housemaid.
I thought Housemaid
has something. And Gnome Hammer.
Oh, and Gnome Hammer. Wow. Yeah. How did I forget? I guess because we had just talked about him.
We have those. Eight in total at this point. So it's going to be quite the prize pack once it's all done.
That's a lot of stuff. Could be coming to you. So get out there, make what you fear, and we'll see what you got.
Yeah. I'm excited. Seeing a lot of good stuff so far.
Yeah, I just saw somebody else do another one, and they didn't tag us, so I got to chase them down.
Nice.
Yeah. I see some people who post often on it. Every now and then they'll miss a tag with us, and I just let that go. Like, obviously, they kind of have five more posts, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But for people who do them post often, I try and chase them down if I see it, but I may not see it. So, I'm not on Instagram all day, every day. So if I don't see it, I don't see it. So it's up to you guys to go back and tag. I don't want to chase everyone down. So dem's the rules.
yes.
So yeah, good luck with everyone. I see some amazing stuff happening. We're coming up at the end of February. Maybe we'll do a quick rundown of some of the things that we're seeing. So if you don't hear your project in there, you may want to go back and start checking. And if you haven't started yours yet, you may want to start. Just saying.
Yeah. Might prompt me to start making another list to add to the piles of paper I have here.
Yeah.
So if I don't write it down, I'll never remember.
Yeah, we're about halfway through. I know Chris and Corey talked about it on Makeshift today. They didn't know when it ended, but it ends on March 31st. It started on January 3rd, so we're almost halfway through. I think when this releases is the halfway mark. So,
pretty much, yeah.
If you haven't started yet, maybe now's the time. Maybe you're prolific and can get it done faster than I could. So, but yeah, get after it.
Yeah, I feel like yours is a time served thing. You need a lot of time at what you're doing there.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I'm going backwards in progression. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very ugly final product.
Yeah, I'm kind of dreading mine right now. I'm trying to figure out. I got to figure out the legs.
Oh, I think
the center stand that you were talking about, I think, is probably the way I'm going to go. I just have to. I don't know if I'll go four legs or three. I can probably go with three, and probably work better underneath that piece that I have.
You better get that heater up and running if you're going to do that one.
Yeah, well, the forge will be running then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get some projects on the go here. I get hopefully get out in the shop here in the next month. And with that heater, it's going to make life so much easier.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we're going to head on over to the after show. If you could rate and review our show, 5 stars at a minimum would be great for us. But if you could share it with all your friends, that would be, epic for us. We appreciate it. Get out there and make what you fear. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron on the old Instagrams. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast or Working Hands 3 on TikTok. And with that, we will see you guys next week.
Later.